SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
Welcome everybody into another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sun Belt Podcast. I am your host, Georgia Southern writer for Underdog Dynasty, Brian Stone, joined by Georgia State writer for the site, Zeke Palermo. Zeke, it's finally here. We're getting real actual football after a little bit of a taste last week with the week zero games.
Dude, I am so pumped. We've been waiting since January for this, and I think this will probably be one of the best Sun Belt years yet, just with all these new teams, a lot of really exciting talent, so I'm really pumped to actually get to watch some football.
For sure. So one thing that Zeke and I wanted to talk about kind of off the top, as is the case all the time when you record a podcast, news drops immediately after you record it, and while it's in the process of being edited and can't really go back and update it. But I think it was a day or two after we dropped or recorded our last episode, Marshall came out with a statement that their running back, Rasheen Ali, who led the nation in rushing touchdowns last year, is going to be away from the team indefinitely. I read the statement from the coach. It's pretty vague all around. I'm assuming it's something to do with family based on how it was written. Zeke, if he's away from the team, just looking at this from a football perspective, for, let's say, half the season, I think I have to drop him to, like, drop Marshall to, like, fourth or fifth in the East standings. I think he's kind of what makes that entire offense go. And I know that Henry Colomby is your boy, as we talked about last week, but even you kind of have to admit, like, he's the engine of their team. Am I correct?
I mean, without a good running back, no team is going to be super successful, save for in the Sun Belt, where you have these super pass-happy teams. But I, you know, glad Ali's doing whatever he needs to get whatever it is sorted out, be it physical, mental, family, whatever. I'm glad he's taking this time. But, I mean, Marshall just lost the most important part of their offense is an understatement. So I agree. They drop a couple spots in the standings. As we'll get to later, it won't really impact them week one. But as you get into those week four, week five games, start to play conference games, it could really come back and hurt the team.
Yeah, for sure. So getting into this weekend's games, let's start off with Friday night. Virginia Tech travels to face Old Dominion in Norfolk. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Virginia Tech, kind of surprising to me at least, just an 8.5-point favorite. Over-under is 49.5. I don't really know what to expect out of Virginia Tech. You know, they finally get rid of the Justin Fuentes era, or error, I'm sure, for a lot of Virginia Tech fans, has finally ended. They went and got Penn State defensive coordinator Brent Pry to be their new head coach. I don't really know what to expect out of them. I'm going to say I think Old Dominion keeps it closer than the line suggests. But that's just based off – I mean, that's just like a hunch, like a gut feeling for me.
Yep.
But like I said, we'll have to see how that all pans out. Virginia Tech's underwhelmed the last couple years, and haven't really been the same since Frank Beamer retired. So kind of give me your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, with a new head coach as well as a new quarterback, agree. I can't really make heads or tails, but I feel the same about Old Dominion. I feel like we were both kind of hemming and hawing about how well will Old Dominion do when we previewed the Eastern Division. That said, because both teams are kind of, we don't know at this point, you've got to revert to the default. Well, who's just the better team? Who's the better program? I've got Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I've got Virginia Tech in a close one. I actually would sort of, I don't know, I don't have any inside information on this, obviously, but I would sort of lean, I think, under here if you were going to bet the over-under of 49.5. I just think that anytime you get a defensive-minded head coach like Pry coming in, I think that they tend to want to run the ball, play ball control, control, you know, the spot on the field where the ball is, and just sort of be pretty conservative. And I don't know that I foresee Virginia Tech being the type of team that's just going to go pure air raid. So I think this one's going to be close. I wouldn't be surprised if Virginia Tech pulled this one out and it was like 27-21 or 27-20 was the final. Right. So that's kind of where I'm going to plant my flag on that one. Getting into the next game, let's start off Saturday at noon. North Carolina visits Boone to take on Appalachian State. The line on this one as it sits today is even, which means, you know, there's no – Vegas doesn't see an advantage for either team at this point. Over-under is 56. North Carolina played a incredibly understaffed or under, you know, whatever term you want to use, Florida A&M team. Yep. In week zero. And, I mean, they scored a bunch of points, but – it's like if it's Florida A&M and they're missing, I think it was like 20 players or something like that. I mean, you should score 56. Their quarterback, David May, looked good. Although, again, you have to take into account who they played and all the circumstances around that. Zeke, give me your thoughts on this one. And then I'm going to kind of give my prediction, I think, as to what's going to happen in this.
Okay. So much like you felt, I was left underwhelmed by UNC's beat over Florida A&M. I think allowing 24 points worries you, especially when you're going to go play a team like App State that has the potential to drop 40 on you any given week. You mentioned Drake May. I really liked his game. Whether he'll be able to sustain it over the, you know, next couple weeks against better teams, we're not sure yet. But as of now, he looks like he's a really good heir to the hole that Sam Howell has left after he went pro. I've got App State by, maybe a touchdown, maybe a touchdown and a field goal. I usually, as we'll get into later, I'll usually pick the team that has had the chance to play a game already because you can't understate the value of having game experience. However, I was not left starstruck by what UNC did against a far worse Florida A&M team. I've got App State by probably just one score.
Yeah, I agree. I think App wins this one by a touchdown or so. I didn't love what I saw from North Carolina, and they seem to – it's kind of crazy because – when you look at North Carolina's program, you're like, wow, Mack Brown's the coach. You know, he brings this national championship winning pedigree over from his previous job at Texas. But that hasn't really translated outside of one good season, like you said, with Howell. Because when you go back and look, like I had to look to say, how actually good was that UNC team that was like seemed to be so loaded on NFL talent with like Javonte Williams and Michael Carter? They finished 8-4. I mean, they were third in their division in the ACC. So I thought that they were actually better than that. But to say, I think they'll just be chasing that 8-4 high, you know, forever because it's a basketball school and all they want with their football team is just not to be embarrassed every Saturday. But I just see App beating North Carolina. They're a more stable football program at this point. So give me App. Moving on to the next game, 3:30 Eastern time kick. We just talked about them a little bit. Marshall hosts Norfolk State. I don't think we've got too much to talk about here, even with the loss of Ali. I mean, obviously I don't foresee Marshall losing to an FCS team. So kind of give me your brief thoughts and we'll move off of this one because there's not a whole lot to talk about.
Yeah, not a ton to talk. I think this will be, as you mentioned, my boy Colomby. I think this will be a great opportunity for him to kind of hit the ground running without the ability to just kind of hand it off to Ali all day. He may see more passing attempts than he normally would. So I think this could be a very good tune-up game, and I'll be saying that a lot today, and I'm sure you will as well, especially against these FCS programs. But I think Marshall should win this one by a considerable margin. Two touchdowns at the least. But as we said, you know, how that predicts into the future without Ali, I'm not in the business of making that kind of guess right now.
Yeah, I think Colomby, this is a good way to start the season. I think if they want to get him some reps in game situations to see what if he can, you know, kind of carry the offense on his back, I think this would be a good opportunity to see if that can kind of take place, or if they're going to need to lean on another a running back with Ali being out. Mm-hmm. One team that's not going to be able to take it easy is Troy. At 4 yep. o'clock, SEC Network, they take on number 21 Ole Miss in Oxford. Mississippi, 21.5-point favorite, over-under 58. Welcome to the head coaching job, John Summerall. Now you get to face Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Yeah. Now, I will say they do benefit a little bit. They miss out and don't have to face Matt Corral and that team that Ole Miss put out last year, which was deadly. You know, Ole Miss breaking in a new quarterback. Troy, I talked about Gunnar Watson on my breakouts episode last week. However, I just don't think that they are in the same stratosphere as Ole Miss. I think this one could get ugly pretty fast. Ole Miss likes to play like a real up-tempo, no huddle. You know, they do that, what is it, the sugar huddle? Is that them where they kind of huddle, but they don't really? Yep. And then they just run right up to the line and snap it. I think Summerall's defense in week one is in for a real rude awakening. So I'd be shocked if they could keep it within 17 of Ole Miss at this point. And that's not like really a knock on Troy. It's just like that's a whole other level of competition.
Yeah. I mean, we both spoke at lengths previously about the Troy defense, but Ole Miss, they're ranked 21st, right? AP poll has them at 21. They could climb higher after this week. There's not much Troy's going to be able to do other than tread water for a half of football. So as you said, you know, 17 points feels adequate. As long as you can keep it close at half, I think that'd be a considerable win in the eyes of the Troy program. Obviously, you're not winning the game, but that's bright signs if you can keep it close at half.
Yeah, I think if you could just put up, you know, relatively a fight, I think that would be a good way to kind of start off Subrawl's tenure and also, you know, sort of the season and show, you know, we're not going to do the same things we had done under Chip Lindsey. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like you said, if they can keep it close for a half of football, I mean, you know, that might be a good place to start for Troy in 2022. Getting into our next game, where there's not going to be a lot to talk about in this one much either. South Alabama welcomes Nichols to Mobile. You know, I'm just, you know, South Alabama in a route for me. There's not even like betting lines on these types of games. So I think the thing I'm most interested in is seeing, like I said, if one of my other breakout picks, Jalen Wayne, starts the season off hot or what the offense kind of looks like for South Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be what are we looking for? Is Jalen Wayne able to pick up where Jalen Tolbert left off? I believe Carter Bradley is the starter for South Alabama. Is he going to be able to settle in as the starter? One thing I will note, though, last time South Alabama played an FCS school, they only won by 7. That was against Alcorn State. But if we're going to look at this game realistically, what can you realistically expect? Yeah, South Alabama by minimum 17.
Yeah, I don't even with you could throw all the variables you want at this game. I don't see Nichols being able to keep it within two scores. And I could see this one being relatively low scoring with a new starting quarterback and you know, Kane Womack being sort of a defensive guy for South Alabama. I could see it being 38-14 or something like that. Sure. So moving on from this one, next game up, 5:30 kick, Eastern time, Reno, Nevada. Texas State travels a couple states over to play Nevada. Nevada, with a pretty underwhelming win in week zero, at New Mexico State, they won 23-12. I didn't watch this game, to be quite honest with you. Their starting quarterback, Nevada, only threw for 51 yards on 12 completions or 7 completions. I don't know what Texas State's going to look like with Lane Hatcher at QB, but I feel like if Nevada turns in another performance like that they did against New Mexico State, I think Texas State might be able to pull it off. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this will be one of the, even though neither team is going to be, reaching for the AP polls, I think this will be one of the better games of the weekend. We've got a couple more we'll get to later that are going to be, real exciting must-watches. But Texas State, Nevada, neither of us high on Texas State. And as I alluded to earlier, I'm just going to take Nevada here solely because I really like that they had a game already, that they have had this ability to put 11v11 over a game of 60 minutes. That's hugely important to me, especially in the beginning of these seasons, because you can shake off the rust so much quicker than a team like Texas State. Obviously, they've played a game, they've played their preseason, what have you, but I'm going to take the game under their belt, Nevada, in this one.
I'm actually going to take the Bobcats in this one. Okay. Nevada, there just wasn't a lot to like last week. Mm-hmm. Against a New Mexico State team that's, sort of starting over with new head coach Jerry Kill in his first game. Give me the Bobcats. I want to see what Lane Hatcher can do. With a head coach that'll stick with him for a full four quarters instead of trying to yank him out every other series. Next game on the slate, 6:00, Morgan State visits Statesboro to take on Georgia Southern. Again, no betting lines or anything on these FCS versus FBS games. Georgia Southern starting over, new head coach. New quarterback in Kyle Van Treese. I have to assume the offense is going to look wildly different, obviously, because they didn't bring in like an option-focused head coach. Personally, for me, I think the offense, no matter what it looks like, is as long as they can run the football, which has been their strength for years, I'm fine. Like, if the passing game's not fully fleshed out or developed, I get it. They haven't been a throwing football team. However, defensively, if they can't stop the pass, for me, going to be another long season in Statesboro. Yeah. Zeke, what do you think?
To that point, that's what these early season games are for, right? It's so that you can figure out what's going to work, figure out what we're actually going to look like now that we're playing real football. Georgia Southern, for as bad as we both anticipate them being, Morgan State is even worse. They're one of the bottom of the barrel FCS schools. They went 2-9 last season, and get this. Average margin of loss for Morgan State last season was over 3 touchdowns. So they were losing games by an average of 22 points. Matter how poor, we could throw UMass out there, yeah? And yeah. I'm still picking them over Morgan State.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll see what Georgia Southern kind of puts out there. I'm interested, like I said, to see the new offense. So we'll kind of go from there. Another 6:00 kick. This one a lot closer than some of the other games as far as, looking at favorites and things that we've been looking at. Middle Tennessee State visits Harrisonburg, Virginia, to take on James Madison in JMU's FBS debut. JMU, a 6-point favorite in their first ever FBS game against another FBS opponent. Little surprising, but I think James Madison wins this. I like a lot of the structure that program has with the Kurt Cignetti and all that. Like I said, I read off some of the stats a couple weeks ago when we did our East preview. They usually dominated the FCS level. I don't think they're just going to walk in and dominate the Sun Belt, but I think that the top tier of the FCS can compete with sort of the bottom feeding FBS teams. And I think James Madison comes away with a win here at home.
This will be an upsetting take for a lot of people who are fans of non-Power 5 football. I don't buy James Madison, at least not yet. I just can't feel right about saying the top FCS school is better than the bottom FBS, right? You've got more money, better facilities, more coaches. You know, you've got more scholarships to throw at better players. So even though on paper, James Madison last year, 15 points a game, points per game allowed. Their defense was holding opponents to only 15. Middle Tennessee was only winning games where they were scoring over 30, right? Mm-hmm. So even though on paper you're looking at this, and you know this could be a big statement, you know, program defining win for James Madison, I don't in good faith can't say that James Madison in their first FBS game is going to come in and win. Last time they played an FBS school, 2019, they lost that game, right? If we come back next week and I'm wrong, I'll eat my words, but I don't buy it this early.
Okay, that's fair. I like what I've seen out of them for years at the FCS level, and I think it's going to translate. I mean, obviously, like I said, we're going to be talking about something completely different when it comes time for, you know, James Madison to play the contenders of the Sun Belt. But like I said, we'll have to see how all that all pans out. But I've got James Madison winning this game. All right, next game in the slate, 7 o'clock Eastern. I think this is pretty much the Sun Belt game of the week. Army comes to Conway, South Carolina to take on Coastal. Coastal just a 2.5-point favorite. Army is always a tough opponent. I'm just going to start off by saying that. However, I just think Coastal – I think Coastal's going to have a rough year of it if they find a way to lose to Army, because all you have to do against Army – and I say that acknowledging that it's not like a layup, but all you have to do is be able to score a little bit, because teams that run the triple option cannot typically score at will. You know what I mean? Like they're not hucking it all over the yard. So I like Coastal Carolina in this game. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if it was close, but I can't trust Army to come in and beat them in Conway week one.
What do you say about Army, man? Like, as you kind of alluded to, there's nothing to say about Army from a football perspective that gives you a real clear idea of how this game's going to unfold, because Army is year in, year out, this weird bogey team for good teams. They come in, they play their triple option, which I love, but it messes teams up, right? Just like Southern did for years in the FCS level, was you play the triple option, teams aren't ready for that.
Yep.
That said, Coastal's had the full offseason. Obviously, they're not spending the whole offseason preparing for one triple option team. But you've had more than just 1 week to prepare. I think this team is good enough. That front line with Josiah Stewart and Gerard Clark, I think, is going to be able to hold the Army rushing attack at bay just long enough for Coastal to build that lead. And as you mentioned, it's difficult for these triple option ground and pound teams to play while down a score. So I've got Coastal.
Yeah. You know, having like you alluded to with Georgia Southern, you know, I've seen what happens when these types of teams get down two scores, even if it's 10 points. It's just it's such an uphill climb. Defensively, you're always just praying for turnovers, like a fumble to fall into your lap, or, you know, McCall to throw an interception, which he doesn't do a lot, which also makes it tough. A lot of times teams like Army capitalize when they play against quarterbacks that turn the ball over a lot. And he just doesn't do that. He's pretty efficient with throwing the football. So, I mean, unless Coastal Carolina is just taking this huge step back, I'm taking the chance here. I think they beat Army, and I think it's fairly comfortable.
Sure. I'd
say like 10 to 14 points as far as a win goes. So,
and you said the spread is what? 2.5 on that?
2.5 Coastal Carolina.
I'm curious if that is a product of Army just being Army, or if the odds makers really think that Army is capable to keep it within 3.
Well, I think and I obviously I can't speak for odds makers because I don't make the lines, but I think what they're looking at is number one, you know, Coastal did lose a lot as mm-hmm. far as like playmaking goes. You know, they lose Isaiah Likely, they lose Javon Haley, they do get Sam Pinckney at receiver we talked about from Georgia State, but they lost a lot on defense too. Even though they still have, you know, those guys you mentioned and DeJordan Strong at corner. Mm-hmm. I think they just don't know what to expect until they see Coastal play.
Right.
But honestly, I just have a hard time seeing a team with Grayson McCall at quarterback not be able to score points. So, yeah. So give me Coastal. Like I said, if they do find a way to fall to Army, I think it might be a long season in Conway. If they can't get it figured out, but I don't foresee that happening. Sure. One of the other 7 o'clock kicks, we've got Liberty visiting Southern Mississippi, in Hattiesburg. Liberty is a 3.5 point favorite. Over/under is 49.5. I think I'm going to call for the upset. I think Southern Mississippi brings down Liberty at home. I just think, you know, if Malik Willis was still at Liberty, I'd pick Liberty handily. But I don't know what their quarterback situation looks like now. And I do think Frank Gore Jr. is a great running back. And if they can just keep from having, you know, 11 different guys throw a pass in this one for Southern Mississippi, I think they might be able to pull it out. So I'm going to go ahead and pick them for the upset.
I've got Liberty here, and as we talked about last week, I love Frank Gore Jr. Liberty only allowed 140 rushing yards per game last year. And that is just not enough to propel an offense that doesn't really have a passing identity yet. Yeah. We still don't really know what's going on at quarterback. We still really don't know like who their top receiver is. Like, we can have the depth charts all we want. We don't know what this team is as a passing game, because we haven't seen them run a real offense since like November or October, because they ran the Wildcat for 3 weeks. And because of the uncertainties in that passing game and Liberty's ability to, if not stop, at the very least control the opposing rushing game, I've got Liberty.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, you say you have uncertainty in the passing game for Southern Miss. I mean, I don't know what to expect out of Liberty's passing game either. You know, transfer Charlie Brewer comes over. He has transferred twice now. He's on the Jake Bentley career path where he's going to play at 9 schools before he graduates. Comes over from one season at Utah last year, after playing a couple years at Baylor before that. I do think Hugh Freeze is a good offensive coach. He's a good offensive mind, no matter what you think of him outside of football. But like you said, I don't know what to expect out of Southern Miss's passing game, but I feel the exact same way about Liberty.
Sure. So
I'm going to take Southern Miss in the upset. Obviously, when things start to crystallize a couple weeks in the season, I feel like I'll have a better feel for what each team can do. But mm-hmm. since we haven't even seen either of these teams take the field in 2022, I'm shooting from the hip. So that's what I'm going with. Another 7 o'clock Eastern time kick we have on Saturday is Southeast Louisiana visiting Louisiana, the Cajuns, at Cajun Field, Lafayette. No line in this one. First game as an official full-time head coach for DeSormo. We'll see what Louisiana can do, but I don't foresee them having any issues with Southeast Louisiana. Yeah.
No, I mean, last time they played, I think that game was only decided by 3 points, if I'm remembering correctly. But, I mean, let's be real. Louisiana, they're, if not the best, you know, they're the second, maybe third best team in the Sun Belt, Southeast Louisiana. As I continue to dunk on FCS schools this entire evening as we record this, they're not going to put up a fight.
No, I think Louisiana's got a lot to prove that they didn't completely – you know, they didn't lose their edge. When, you know, their old head coach left for Florida. So we'll see what they end up looking like. I think they're going to look a lot like they have been. I think they're going to run the ball a lot. You know, they've got a new quarterback that they're breaking in as well, but I think they've always been, you know, their foundation's always been good defense, strong run game. I think you can lean on that, especially in these early parts of the season, and sort of figure out what you're doing in the passing game from there. All right, next game up, 7 o'clock, another FCS match versus Sunbelt matchup. Arkansas State welcomes HBCU team Grambling to Jonesboro. I have this penciled in as one of Arkansas State's layup wins this year, because heading into doing my preview, there weren't many outside of, let's see, I'm looking down their schedule. UL Monroe, I think, was going to be a win for them, and then UMass. And those are pretty much the three that I think are going to be layups, including this game with Grambling. So, you know, we'll see if they look any more balanced. We'll see if they can, you know, at least put up a semblance of some defense and not have to play a shootout game with Grambling.
Yeah, as much as we would love to break this game down, right, and talk about is Arkansas State on the right path or wrong path in terms of is Butch Jones the guy? Is this pass thing the right option? We're not going to gain a ton from Grambling State. We know Arkansas State's going to score, 40 points minimum?
Yeah.
So it's going to come down to, is that defense good enough to make a couple stops? Mm-hmm. I think they are against Grambling State, a team that was held to 10 or less 5 times last season. 5 times they scored less 10 or less points. So it's not like they're playing, the Alabama of offenses out here. But it is going to be important for Arkansas State to really make a couple stops. Force a turnover or two. Play really good, first and 10 defense. Because if you don't, then you start to look at the rest of the season, these games that aren't necessarily layups and that aren't going to be blowouts in the other direction, these more toss-ups, and you think, do we have the defense in place to actually win some ball games? So as much as you want to toss this game away, it's going to come down to, can Arkansas State's defense make some stops?
Yeah, I mean, they desperately need a complete overhaul on the defensive side of the ball. And I think this is a good, not test, obviously, but I think it's a good opportunity to kind of sharpen their skills before the meat of their schedule comes up. Because, you know, week 2, they play at Ohio State.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got a long stretch ahead of you after this game. So better pick up the easy ones when you can. Next game on the slate, your Georgia State Panthers visit South Carolina. In Columbia, Spencer Rattler's first game at the helm for the Gamecocks. South Carolina's a 12.5-point favorite. Over-under's 57. Give me sort of your thoughts on this game since you are the Georgia State guy. Do you think there is a chance that they pull off an upset in this one?
There is a chance. Georgia State, lots of people may remember, nearly beat Auburn last season, yeah? And I may be wrong in doing this. I'd say Auburn and South Carolina are in the same strata of football team. However, Georgia State last season, as you talked about when we previewed, very Jekyll and Hyde. You know, they showed up against big teams, then they would get blown out by UNC the next week. They would stomp all over the tiny men of the Sun Belt and then lose to them the next week.
Yep.
What Georgia State team are we going to see? Are we going to see the Georgia State team, right, that came out and played incredible football in Auburn, right? Are we going to see the team that walked all over Ball State in the bowl game? And it really, for me, comes down to that. We could get into players and stats and numbers. It's just like, I think Georgia State has the potential to, at the very least, keep this within one score based on what we saw last season. However, they need to actually do that as opposed to just show up to play football.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this when we kind of talked about the East, but Georgia State once again drew a really tough start to their season. Mm-hmm. I think if they want to avoid, falling in that hole early like they did last year, I think they have to show up in this one. Now, Spencer Rattler, things definitely ended poorly for him at Oklahoma. You know, turned the ball over a ton, ended up getting benched for Caleb Williams, and then basically that whole team transferred to USC, including, you know, the head coach, Caleb Williams, a ton of their playmakers, everything. So Rattler was sort of left to kind of figure out his own fate, and he joins, you know, Shane Beamer in Columbia. I agree with you. I could definitely see this one being like closer than the line suggests. Mm-hmm. However, when I'm going back and looking at Georgia State, I look at the way that they opened their season last year. I mean, they played Army in week one and lost by 33.
Yeah.
And then lost to North Carolina the week after by 42. Mm-hmm. And it last season wasn't exactly a banner year for UNC. So I'm not going to really pick this game because of how inconsistent Georgia State is, but it could be either, you know, a field goal game, or they could be get handed one of those 31-point blowouts like they did to start last year.
Yeah. If I can jump in, I agree with you. That would be a miserable start. And again, no coach is going to go out there and say that we want to lose the first game. But head coach Sean Elliott, from what I know of him, speaking with him, interviewing him and whatnot, I would be incredibly surprised if they had as terrible as a start this year as last. I think there were a lot of starters when we look back at those like Army games and the UNC games. There was a quarterback controversy. There was a running back controversy, right? Mm-hmm. So I think this is a really different team week one to week one. But again, anything can really happen, especially when you're playing these teams that are supposed to be better than you.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens in that game. That, along with the Army Coastal Carolina game, are I think the two most intriguing games of the weekend as far as Sun Belt play goes to me. And then getting into the last game of the night, 8 o'clock kick. UL Monroe has to travel to Texas in Austin to face the Longhorns. Texas is a 37.5 point favorite, over under 64.5. I'm going to start this off by saying I don't think Texas is going to lose this game, but how Texas would it be if UL Monroe lost this game by 4 points?
That's Texas, man. You know, they're the antithesis of Army, right? They've got this – they're going to lose games they shouldn't, or at least make it close when they shouldn't. But I think Bijan Robinson's just going to, like, trample them, you know? Quarterback Quinn Ewers, this will be his first – as far as my understanding, it's going to be his first snaps, not just his first start, but Quinn Ewers, the quarterback for Texas, this will be his first snaps of the NCAA, so – could see some lackluster passing from Texas, but they've got the running back power to just not even concern themselves with Monroe.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, Bijan Robinson, he's touted honestly to be, and you can tell I play like dynasty fantasy football, but he's purported to be like one of the best, I think, prospects coming out in the last like 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. And that's even including like Breece Hall last year. And I think that a lot of people wouldn't be shocked if he was like a late first round pick, like in the draft. So I think that's going to be way too much for UL Monroe to handle. However, like I said, it would be hilarious if they came out and Quinn Ewers didn't exactly know what was going on and threw two picks. And for some reason, you know, late in the game, the Warhawks are driving to tie it or try to win it. And Texas just comes up with a late turnover or something. And it ends up being, you know, 34-31 final score.
Yeah. I'm not going to put my money on that. If you were to ask me if that's within the realm of possibility, I'm saying most definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put any money on Texas being winning this game by more than 38 points either. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of that's a little bit of a fool's bet.
Yeah.
Anytime you believe in Texas. So that is the slate for week one. You know, we've got a full complement of games in this one. Zeke, I'm sure you're looking forward to Georgia State, South Carolina. is that the game sort of the weekend for you?
Looking through my list, obviously that's going to be the one I'm keeping the closest eye on. But I think App State, North Carolina will be interesting. As you mentioned, great opportunity for App State to like really plant their flag and say we're legit. Similar with Coastal. If you can beat Army here, you can say we're here and we're not, you know, this isn't a fluke over the past two seasons. So those are kind of my two top picks. If you're asking me to pick one, it's App State, North Carolina.
Okay. One under the radar game that I like, and I just because I want to see what both teams are made of, is Liberty and Southern Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about it, but both teams are sort of trying to figure out what they're made of coming into this year. So, like I said, I was a little surprised at the betting line being only 3.5 to Liberty. We'll see what Southern Miss can end up doing, but that is week one in the Sun Belt. Zeke, any final, you know, sort of wrap up thoughts and tell folks where they can find you on social media?
I've got nothing really much to add. I will ask you, Brian, is there any other college football games you're going to be watching this weekend, keeping a close eye on?
I mean, the easy cop out answer is Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is kind of the game of the weekend. This Oregon-Georgia game intrigues me as well because Oregon picked up Georgia's defensive coordinator.
Dan Lanning, yeah.
And I've never personally – I mean, they've had a couple prospects, but I've never seen Oregon with a physical defense. You know, mm-hmm. They're always a lot of flash. They score a lot of points, things like that. So I'm interested to see what those two games look like to me. Do you have any other sort of out of Sun Belt games for this opening weekend?
You know, my pick was going to be Georgia, Oregon. I'm a Georgia student, go Dogs. But I think that, and as you mentioned, the Ohio, Notre Dame are the two cop out, but they're the only real answers on the slate.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Zeke, as we sort of wrap up, tell folks where they can find you on social media.
I'm on Twitter at Zeke Palermo, ZekePalermo. That's where we talk about Georgia State stuff, Sun Belt stuff, the podcast. And, you know, as we start to get more into the full NCAA season, probably just a lot of college football. How about yourself, Brian?
Yeah, as always, people can find me on Twitter at WatchTheStone. It's exciting not only to have football back, but with these new teams in the conference, it's always interesting because – we just flat have more football to talk about as far as the Sun Belt goes. And that also intrigues me, sort of breaking down these new teams and seeing where they kind of stand in the hierarchy of the conference. But yeah, so that's going to do it. We'll be back next week to recap all these week one games and get into week two. This has been another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sun Belt Podcast.